Well, good morning. Good morning, and welcome to our service online again, Zoom, on YouTube, or where you watch it later sometime during the week or even during the day on CD or DVD, whatever. May the Lord bless you and welcome. It is a service of communion where we share together in the bread and the wine, as symbols of God's body and His blood shed for us, a symbol of His love for each one of us this morning. And if you haven't or forgot to get prepared, this is the time for you to go, and if you wish to do so, to pick up some bread and some wine, juice, whatever you feel comfortable with, and to join us later into that. I'd like to start this morning with reading a few words from Psalm 62. I don't know how you feel this morning, but I feel such a comforting word reading this Psalm 62. I don't know how you felt in the last few weeks and few months. I don't know how you come to this service this morning with some worries and probably wounds in your life, with some difficulties and challenges about the past or the future. I want to read and these words to you and let them echo into your life and into your family, or even in the home where you are just now. My soul finds rest in God and in Him alone. Amen. My salvation comes only from Him. He alone is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress. I shall never be shaken. I find rest in God. Yes, oh my soul, find rest in Him, because my hope comes from Him and Him alone. He alone is my rock, is my salvation, my fortress. I shall not be shaken, trusting Him at all times. Oh, people of God, trust in your Maker. Pour out your hearts to Him, for God is our refuge. Oh, how much we need to hear those words, especially in these challenging times when we feel, some of us in distress, some of us probably a bit disappointed with life, a bit discouraged in life just now with the challenges. To hear those words that He is our fortress, we can run to Him, He is our rock, and He is our salvation, which is translated in many a times, He is our joy, He is our reassurance, and of course, He is our hope, as we heard. This is the place where we can hide, we can run, we can find shelter, and we can find protection from all the challenges and the difficulties of life as such. On that background, with those words in our mind as we start worship, let me just commend the service to God, and then we're going to sing together Across the Land, a beautiful hymn, a beautiful song. Father, we thank you for the privilege to be together. We thank you that you are indeed our rock and our fortress. Father, we come as we are this morning to you. We come to know you better, to experience your love deeper and deeper. We come to meet with your Holy Spirit and to know again the joy of your salvation in our hearts. We come to share together a word of encouragement, to share the vision of your love in the bread and the wine. Lord, we come as we are. We know we are welcome here. We know that we are loved here. We know that you are here with us. And in everything we do this morning, in the short time that we have together, all this worship and praise and prayer may be pleasant before you, may be welcome before you as our act of sacrifice and worship together. And in the name of Jesus, we pray. From across the land we shout, Alleluia, glory to the Lamb, glory to the Lamb. Amen. Hand it over to the wonderful Harper family who again lead us in worship this morning, Across the Lands. wonderful. Renee and Daniel, you will deserve a medal, which we are going to handle to you when we are back in church. We are forever grateful. Mom and Dad as well, you'll get a handshake. But the boy and the girl were going to get a medal, LBC inscription, on the other side of the cross of Jesus Christ, saved, sealed, bought with a price. Hallelujah. What a savior. I think I'm getting poetical here. I don't know what's happening this morning. Let's get back to our worship. And so we have a reading this morning. If you remember, we started Lent just about 10 days ago, Ash Wednesday. And last week we talked a little bit, very briefly, about what we're giving up for Lent. And many people give up many things, chocolate, media, Facebook stuff and all that. And I like how people actually announce it on Facebook before they actually give up Facebook for whatever amount of time. Many people give up many things, but I thought we can do a bit better than that. We can see where we can challenge ourselves in the way we journey spiritually through our Lent, from Ash Wednesday to the actual cross on Good Friday, and then the resurrection, Easter, which is in April now, quite early. So we talk a little bit about giving up false expectation last week, and now we're going to hear a passage that encourages to think of the price that God has given up, somehow control, in order to win for us a bigger prize, to win salvation, something that Jesus Christ himself have fought for incredibly powerfully in humility at the same time to win for us. Give up the majesty of heaven, giving up the kingship of the universe in order to come and live among us, in order to bring us salvation, that joy of salvation that we started this morning with. And so there's a very challenging passage, one very well known for us. And it's an image where we see how Jesus has given up control, or in other words, there are two sides of the coins of this, has kept control over his life in order to gain, as I said, our salvation. I'll explain that to you a little bit later on. Matthew chapter 4, and I think Steve or Debbie are going to do the reading for us, or it could be both.
It's just me. And children, as we listen to this, this passage makes us think about how important it is to know the Bible well. And even the devil knows the Bible in this passage, but I want you to count how many times does Jesus quote something from the Bible in this passage. Okay, Matthew chapter 4. Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. After fasting for 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. The tempter came to him and said, "If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread." Jesus answered, "It is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God." Then the devil took him to the holy city and set him on the highest point of the temple. "If you are the Son of God," he said, "throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and they will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone." Jesus answered him, "It is also written, do not put the Lord your God to the test." Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. "All this I will give you," he said, "if you will bow down and worship me." Jesus said to him, "Away from me, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only." Then the devil left him, and angels came and attended him. How many times, guys, did Jesus quote from the Bible? Show me with your fingers. How many times? Yeah, well, the grown-ups are doing it. Yeah, the grown-ups are. The children, yes, Layla. Yeah. Three times, thank you. Back to Amelia.
Thank you, Debbie. Yeah, I forgot about it, but I think I counted four. Whew. I need to go back to study the Bible, I think. Absolutely excellent. Is it four times, Debbie? Oh, phew. Thank you. Thank you. You will get a medal from me. No handshake. We're socially distancing these days. Excellent. Thank you ever so much. I'm going to share a little bit from God's word this morning before we have a communion. And I hope and pray that this message, it's going to be encouraging to you. It's been a challenging one to try and prepare, but I'll try and share it as much as I can, of about 10 minutes or so, maximum 15, but 10, I'll try and do it in 10 if I can. Ha, says he, it's Lent, you better believe it. Now, I want to, I don't know how you felt this period of time, 12 months, whatever it is. Yeah, we're coming to 12 months, I think the 14th of March, 15th of March, last time we met together in church, so only a couple of weeks ago, is a year ago. And then we went in lockdown, and who would have thought that a year now later we're still on Zoom and doing this stuff. But hey, there is some light at the end of the tunnel, and we'll probably soon, as I said before, be in church, no long now, hopefully, if we behave ourselves as a nation too. So I want to share something with you. Let me see if this works. It's taken me 6 months to learn this, but I want to share this with you. See whether you can say it. Can you see this on your screens? Yeah, it's a word. Have you heard of this word before? Peripety. Has anyone in this world or in this screen has heard of this word before? Peripety. It means a sudden change. That's what it means. It's a Greek word, and it's about three times described in different forms and roots of that word in the scripture. But that's what it really means, a sudden change. How did that come, and why do I want to talk to you about this word this morning? Now look at it, because you'll never see that again. So this is the first time I'm sharing, ever learning to share my PowerPoint with you. 6 months in the making, but I'm here now. So let me see if I go back, if I can see you. Yes, I can. So that word peripety, I was listening this week to Classic FM, and one of the tune came, one of the classic songs came about, and it was called Peripety by Arnold Schönberger or something like that. May the Lord bless him and his name. But he's a German composer, and he wrote this Peripety song. And this Peripety song starts very slowly, melodically, gently, beautiful, and then suddenly goes into a crescendo, or whatever they call them, up and down and tumultuous and difficult, and then comes back again to gentleness. And it's an interesting piece to listen to if you have the time. And that made me think and reflect of how we've been feeling this last 12 months, because the last 12 months have shown us that we are not in control. Not in control of our even finances, of our future, of our children, of our families, of our grandchildren, of our shopping experiences and choices. We are not in control of our lives, full stop. And this word peripety just reminded me that actually when we think everything is going downhill, when everything is doom and gloom and dark, there seems to be a peripety, there seems to be a change in rhythm, there seems to come in the drummer or the trumpet player or the trombone player or whatever, who brings a new rhythm and a new kind of tempo to the whole rhythm of life as such. If you remember Abraham and Sarah, you know, they were barren. He was in his 70 years old. And hey, what happened? The next day, the angel comes and said, you're going to have a son, and you're going to have a multitude of people who are going to be blessed by you. Out of you, Abraham and Sarah, I'm going to have a people, a nation that I'm going to bless. Just like that, a peripety. Then you have Joseph. He is in prison for many years because he was sold by his brothers into slavery. He goes to bed one night in that prison. He wakes up the next day, Prime Minister of Egypt. Peripety, a sudden change. He, if you remember of Moses, he gets the people out of Egypt, gets to the Red Sea, all red, all blocked because of the sea there. What happens? He prays to the Lord, boom, peripety, the sea opens, they go through. The Egyptian's army follows and they all die. Many, many more examples of this peripety that we can follow. We've seen Joshua a few weeks ago as he marches for 6 days around Jericho. On the seventh day, boom, peripety, it happens. And the walls of Jericho fall down. You have David and Goliath with a stone and a fling that it kills the big giant who for years terrorized the Israelites. Just a stretch of the sling and boom, peripety happens. You have Daniel in the lion's den and so on. Many, many stories. So what I want to say to you at the beginning of this message, do not give up. Let's not give up. Let's not give up because God has not given up on us. Because who would have ever foreseen the Bethlehem? Who has ever would have ever imagined the Son of God living behind the majesty, the kingdom of heaven, and coming to live in a small little Bethlehem manger in order to come and bring salvation to his people? It is peripety for us. Who saw Jesus coming? In God's hands, no script is predictable. No script is predictable. We have never foreseen this a year ago, 12 months ago, but we are in God's hand and his script is not over. He will turn a new leaf over, a new page over. Just when you think you're in the deepest and most and darkest place and well of your life, God through his Holy Spirit will bring a new sudden change, a new rhythm, a new melody to your life. We mustn't give up. And so looking at this incredible story of Jesus and in the wilderness, this happens just after his incredible baptism, where he heard God's voice says, "You are my beloved son." That no longer rings as loudly in his ears. The desert is where we find Jesus in his first public appearance, baptized in the middle of the desert by the Holy Spirit, with all those probably wanderers around him before he is led even further into that desert for 40 days and 40 nights. And the devil comes to him, no God anymore with a sweet voice, "You are my beloved son." There's no appearance of the Holy Spirit in the shape of the form of a dove. It is the devil who comes and he says, "Turn those stones into bread and satisfy your hunger. Prove you are the son of God with the simple stunt and say a word and take power over all the kingdoms of the world." All the kingdoms. Three things that the devil has asked him to do. Three things that he wanted Jesus to take control of. But doing that, if Jesus would have taken control of those things, he would have lost the bigger control of all, the control over our lives, over our salvation. In many ways, the story of Adam and Eve is about this same control. It's not set in a desert, but in a paradise where all was provided except for the fruit of a certain tree. So the tempter leads Adam and Eve. The devil leads them straight to the tree, up to a high place where they could see all that they could be theirs if they would simply seize control of their own lives. God just doesn't want you to know what God knows. He thinks you're going to be as powerful as you do if you eat this tree. You know, just try. Have a go at it. And so what has been done wrongly in that first temptation in paradise, now Jesus undoing it into the desert by refusing to give in or to take control of the worldly things that was offered to him by the devil. The first temptation, one of those social ones with turning stones to bread, which would have been good news for all the hungry throughout the world. Imagine if Jesus would have taken control over that temptation, over that freedom and authority that has been given to him by the devil there. Probably would have never had hunger into the world today. No one need ever suffer from it again. But Jesus waits. Jesus trusts. The second one is more of a religious temptation, where the devil asks him to do some public display of supernatural power. And Jesus understands, does not know what he's come for. He opens his hands, he gives up his own way, our own way. Then the final desert temptation is a kind of a social, political one for that matter. Jesus need only submit to the ruler of this world in order to achieve good for the people of this world. Why didn't he seize control then? Strength, power, plan for a better world. If this temptation were set before Jesus, surely they are before us too. I think of all the things that I could control, don't you? Try and control our families, try to control our children, their future, try to control our appearances, our bodies, our food intake, our money spending and everything else. We try to control so many things. And the tempter knows where we're weak. We are tempting to rise, not to fall. We are tempted to do what seems right and good and beneficial. The tempter, the devil, never approaches us with a rotten fruit, but with the very best tree in the garden. Make a meal of these stones. Swell the ranks of believers. Have a lot of bumps in the pews. Administer power with justice and mercy in this world. This is not the voice of one with a kind of a pitchfork and horns sitting on our shoulder. It's one who looks like a friend. But when we give in, we're again taking up our belief that with enough goodwill, with enough strategy, with enough power, we can save ourselves. My brother and sister, that's what I want to say to you in this last few seconds that I've got of this message. For us, Lent is a journey to be thankful, to be grateful for the cross and for the hope that the resurrection of Jesus brings to us. And during this Lent spiritual journey to God and his intimate relationship that he wants to have with us, we learned last week that our dreams might not match God's dreams, and it's good to put them at the cross. This week, I want to say to you, give up your self-righteousness. Give up your fight to be good, to prove to God that you deserve your salvation. This is one of the most powerful temptations that a Christian can face. Holier than thou attitude. Let me read these verses to you from the scripture. What then shall we say in response to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his son, his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Who shall separate us from the love of God? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or COVID? No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death, man, nor even COVID, angels or demons can ever separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. He knows the path to redemption wasn't through satisfying his own hunger. Jesus does go on to feed thousands on the shore of Galilee so that they could come to a deeper understanding of his love. He declined the offer to throw himself from the heights of the temple to prove who he was, but he does overturn the tables of the money changer who had failed to make his father's house a place where all are welcome, a place where we are loved. We are loved by him. He doesn't take the offer of a throne, but he takes up the cross. He didn't take control of the world. He took control of his people, of the cross and our salvation. And the final temptation that Jesus faced, where he was asked to take control, came on those words that we're going to be reminded as we celebrate, as we take part in communion today. If you are the Son of God, come down from that cross. Take charge Take charge. Show them who you are. Show them the miracle that you can do. Take control of it. But he remembers his commitment in the desert. So he prays from the cross, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. And he stretches out his arm in trust, in faith, in humility and obedience to the Father. May the Lord help us do the same. That there will be, after the cross, there is a peripety. There is an incredible, powerful resurrection, a hope that we've never seen. Hang in there. Don't give up. In whatever situation you might be, in what temptation you might face, peripety is just one night away from you. It could be even 1 minute away. Let me just pray. Father, we thank you for the time spent together in your word. Thank you for your word this morning. Thank you for the peripeties that we've heard throughout your word. From Adam and Eve, from Abraham and Sarah, to the peripety of the cross and an empty tomb. He is alive forevermore. Father, how we need a peripety in our lives. How we need a sudden change, a new rhythm. And I want to pray this morning for my brothers and sisters who are live here with me in face in the front of their screens, and those who are struggling with temptation. I want to pray that you will bless them. You will protect them. You will be with them. I want to pray for those who watch this video later on, who watch it in their homes or watch it wherever they find themselves. Let's see your divinity. Those who are struggling, those who don't see a peripety, who don't see a change into their lives, I pray that through your Holy Spirit, you'll minister your love to them. You'll bring salvation to them. May they find you as the rock and the fortress of their life just now. We commend ourselves into your hands, our families, our children, as much as the world in which we live. A world that is so much in need of a new peripety, of a new revelation of your love for each one of them. From our government, from our people in leadership, to our churches, to our schools, to our institutions, to our homes and families, and throughout the world. Lord, we need you as our rock and our fortress. We need a new revelation of your love for each one of us. And Lord, as we journey this through Lent, may we entrust, submit ourselves, our lives to you, our self-righteousness, as we ask you to forgive us for trying and trying again to prove our worth to you. May this Lent, may this day be a new peripety for us, where you take control of our lives because of Jesus. Lord, I pray if someone in this meeting this morning who hasn't yet had that peripety in their lives, who hasn't yet known you and your love and your grace, you will show them yourself to them. Bring encouragement and love and bring forgiveness and healing into their lives. I pray this as we come to share together into the reminder of your love, in the new peripety of the kingdom to come. That once we are out of here, we'll be into your presence forevermore, tasting the new wine of the new covenant and sharing together in the presence of the Lamb of God. And in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. So we have one more song now before we share in communion, and of course after that we will be closing our service. But this is Above All Powers, Above All Powers.
Above all.
Thank you, the harpers. How powerful those words are. How incredible. What a reminder of God's love for us. And to be able to sing that is absolutely so, I find it very therapeutic, but spiritually so empowering, so encouraging. As we come into the Lord's Supper, I like to read very familiar words to us from 1 Corinthians, as written by Paul in the institution that he advised churches throughout Asia Minor about 2,000 years ago, as they were getting to grips how to celebrate this Lord's Supper, and what if there is a specific way or a specific method, which we are grateful to the Lord that they've risen as such, but somehow there is a tradition within that. And Paul says to them what he thinks the main root of that gathering is, the main purpose for it is really. And so he says to this, "For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, 'This cup, it is the new covenant, sealed by my blood. Do this whenever you drink it, in remembrance of me.'" We remember that indeed Jesus in the garden, he prayed, "Lord, if you can take this cup away from me, do, but not my will, your will." We are so grateful to the Lord that in the end, God took control of our salvation in Christ when the temptation was there to give it up, to take control, to show that Jesus is more powerful and more important than our salvation. And so, as we come to the Lord's table, I would like to remind you that we are here because Jesus has called us to this table. Believers or doubters, whether you're certain of your salvation and faith in Christ, or whether you're just curious and for the first time trying to see what this looks like and what it's all about, come. Not because you understand everything about the Bible, about your faith, or about God, but because you're understood by a God who is love, who is compassion, who is forgiveness. Come not because of how you feel, but because how He feels about you, completely and utterly is mad about you, in love with you. As I said before, I'm saying it again, this table does not belong to any denomination. It's not Baptist, it's not Methodist, it's not Pentecostal. It is the Lord's table that we share as a community of believers walking with Him in faith and because of His grace and through the power of His Holy Spirit. It is a table for all of us, as it is our custom. If you've never been before, feel free to take part where you are in your home in this, in the custom and in the way we do it this morning. If you're not comfortable with it, please feel free to not partake into this. The same about your children. If you like to allow them to take part in it, or grandchildren, or if you're a guardian, you are in charge. You are in control, as it might be, to allow them to take part in this table this morning or not. You make that decision. But we as a church allow for that to happen, as we are part of a community which is inclusive. And this table, it is fully inclusive into our faith and walk with God from wherever we come from, as such. And so, before we take part, as it is our custom, as it is our tradition, we like to give thanks to God for the bread. Then we share it together. Then we're going to give thanks to God for the wine, and then we share it together. So Kirsty is going to give thanks to the Lord for the bread symbolized here, as it is the broken body of Christ. Thank you, Kirsty.
Father God, as we journey towards Easter and we focus on the cross, we think of the cost that you paid for each one of us. And as we take this symbol of bread, we think of it as your body broken for each one of us, not only in this Zoom meeting, but those listening later on, and those across the world, Lord, that celebrate communion and have faith in you. Lord, let us not forget the sacrifice that you've made for each one of us. And let our lives be a testament to the price that you paid. So as we take this bread once more, Lord, we're just thankful for you dying on that cross for us. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Kirsty. And so if you are prepared, and don't feel embarrassed if you not prepare, if you haven't got bread with you, or if you don't wish to take part, it's fine. It's absolutely fine. If you've got it, you might like to now pick up the piece of bread, slice, whatever you've got. And I'm going to read these words, after which we break and we eat a piece of bread straight away. This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. So we break the bread and now we eat it. Now turn towards the cup, and before we share it together, I have asked Karen to give thanks to God for the wine, a symbol of Jesus' blood, a symbol that he has taken control of our salvation, for which we are grateful this morning together. Karen, thank you.
Let us pray. This is a prayer of thanksgiving for the wine, the symbol of Christ's blood shed on the cross for each one of us. And whether we are on our own, with our families, in our own homes, we can share together, drinking at the same time now to remember that Christ died for everyone, or sharing later as we watch it later on. We just thank you, Lord, for what you did on the cross for each and every one of us, for your love for us all. And as we drink, we remember your death and your resurrection, and that you will come again. And we can stand forgiven at the cross. Mm. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Karen. I love that we can stand forgiven at the cross. We can stand. We can stand. And it is my prayer indeed that we all can stand forgiven at the cross of Jesus Christ. If you like to now take hold of the little cup that you've got there, prepare beforehand. I'm going to read again words that Paul described here in his passage to the church at Corinth, the words that echo those of Jesus. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me." With our gratitude in our hearts and with the forgiveness given through the cross of Jesus, we now drink this cup together. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Lord, this is our prayer today in our intercession for the world. Those who mourn, that they will be comforted. Those who struggle and they walk with you, you'll come and walk beside them. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Lord, we pray through these words that you will raise people who are humble, who are obedient to your will and to your word. You will raise leaders, politicians, pastors, teachers, electricians, who are in reverence of your word, of your name, who will live a meek life that will bring healing to the world and communities in which they live. We pray that you will help us give up the control of our lives, give up our self-righteousness, in order that you will be seen in and through us. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Lord, we pray that you will give us a heart of compassion, a heart that says and embraces, that says, I forgive you, and embraces every single neighbor of our spiritually, not physically yet. A heart that rejoices with those who rejoice and mourns with those who mourn. A heart that is full of mercy, love, forgiveness. May we experience your love and forgiveness in our hearts. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be sons of God. Lord, how we long to be called peacemakers in a world which is so fearful and so full of the ravages of war. Would you make us channels of your love, peacemakers in our communities and neighborhoods, into the world in which we live. As a nation, Lord, make us a nation that doesn't go to war, but is a peacemaking nation. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for there is the kingdom of heaven. Father, we thank you for the privilege to live in a country that is at peace. Yes, we remember those who are killed, even murdered, for their faith, for their trust in you, for their walk with you, in the countries where they are not free. We pray for them that they may have your mercy, your peace, and your healing presence over their families. Lord, we pray for peace in the whole world, for your healing presence in our communities. And we thank you again today for our time together, for your presence here, for your word to us, and encouragement that you bring to each one of us through your Holy Spirit. Lord, may we fully surrender to you. May we all seek first your kingdom, and all the other things will be added to us. May we all seek to fulfill your purpose in our lives, so that a new peripety may be unfolded into our own walk with you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And so we close this morning. We seek first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added. This would be lovely to do it on different voices in church. Not possible here. I do not recommend it. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Thank you, Renee and Daniel, and Mum and Dad. going to let me unmute myself. That will be good, wouldn't it? Well, Paul writes to the church at Galatians, a kind of a longer blessing, telling them in a much gentler way how to get rid of this self-righteousness. So he puts it much nicer than I did this morning. And he says to this, "But by faith we eagerly await through the Spirit the righteousness for which we hope, that comes from him and not from us. For in Christ we are all one. So I say to you," Paul says to the church in Galatia, "I say to you this, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of sinful nature. For the sinful nature desire what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature. Let us not become weary of doing good." May the Lord bless your hearts. May you walk with him in the power of his Holy Spirit. And may you be a channel of his peace to all the people that you will see, you will talk, or you will contact in the coming days from now on. In Jesus' name, amen. Bless you and thank you for listening and joining us this morning. And Shauna is now going to send us to our rooms. I hope you've got the coffee ready and whatever you're drinking there, whatever you like.